is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer. U.S. Supreme Court made it easier to challenge the regulatory power of federal agencies in two important rulings backing Axon Enterprise Incorporated's bid to sue the Federal Trade Commission and a Texas accountant's gripe with the Securities and Exchange Commission. That is the wordy explanation to what it, from Reuters, is in fact a 9-0 ruling by the Supreme Court, the same court that said to be forever divided along ideological grounds, has come together over a matter involving the administrative state. That metaphor is everything as we go forward. I welcome Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, who has long spoken of the administrative state and writes most recently at the Hoover Institution's defining ideas of this decision by the Supreme Court, of the original cases themselves, of the FTC and the SEC. Those are acronyms for the administrative state. Richard, it's a pleasure to watch you write about this. I could see the joy in your paragraphs for defining ideas, because though the Supreme Court decided 9-0, there were so many different directions and what I would say looking like dead ends in the explanation. We believe the administrative state will survive to fight another day. Hooray. Richard, good evening to you. What is it that the court saw in this case that it rejected the SEC and the FTC's aggression? Good evening to you.
Well, aggression is a strong but accurate word in this case. I think basically this case operated on two levels. The first level is one of intuitive fairness, which they really thought about. And the second was how it is that you capture a set of doctrines which allows you to respond to that unfairness within the current framework. Now, what's the obvious unfairness in this case? If you start looking at the facts, what you realize is that in both cases, the administrative agencies are making a stretch. The Cochran case was a situation of a woman who resigned from a firm whose boss had engaged in some dubious practices. And so what does the SEC do? They don't turn to her for help and thank her for what she did. They sue her for being involved with the same matter that he did. And what they can do is bring their power to bear through administrative judges. So they force her to surrender simply because she'll run out of resources. The government puts an enormous amount of resources in all these cases to encourage other people to settle. And what the Supreme Court said, we really do not like the situation where you put somebody through the ringer and where you make yourself both a prosecutor on the one hand and judge on the other, and on the third hand, the executioner. We just don't like this. And the same thing happened with the FTC. There was a proposed merger. This was before the current Biden administration. And what happened was the FTC didn't like the merger. They're probably wrong on that, but who knows? Then what they said is when you break up, you have to transfer your own intellectual property to somebody else, which is just an obvious abuse of their kind of discretion. And so what do you do to stop this? Well, what the Supreme Court said is it is utterly unconscionable for you to have to be dragged through the mud with thousands upon thousands of dollars and years of confusion before you could bring a challenge which says, hey, the FTC and the SEC have no business bringing these cases at all. And so what they did, in effect, is they took these so-called jurisdictional issues and said, what's going on here is the sort of thing that you should be able to challenge in court before you have to be put through the meat grinder. Now, the arguments that they use, I think, are pretty weak in many cases, but the intuition is very, very strong. And to sort of add to the confusion, what happens is there are three opinions. There's the exhaustive majority opinion by Justice Kagan, and then there are two concurrences by Neil Gorsuch and Clarence Thomas. And what I think you have to say about them is in some fundamental way, all these opinions are wrong. And let me explain what I think the right intuition is, and then try to tell you what happened.
And for me to introduce my learning from you on these matters over time, the large question here is due process, as I understand. Please continue.
Yeah, well, due process, there's a Fifth Amendment which says, nor shall anybody be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And this is primarily a procedural position. And one can say, if you go back to Roman law, where this all starts, sort of medieval law or modern American law, some of the prerequisites were that you had a neutral judge who was unbiased, before whom you could bring arguments and have a hearing in which you could present and defend your case. This is not what's happened when you go before somebody whom the SEC or the FTC picks to judge your particular case, knowing that that guy is going to do more or less what you want. And so the position I have always taken on these cases is you may have to live with an administrative state that blends together the executive branch and the legislative branch, rulemaking and enforcement, but adjudication should be kept separate, and you have to create, at least for major cases, a separate court system in order to deal with them. And that court system would have judges that would be appointed like other judges and assigned like other judges, random rotation rather than favoritism. That would solve all the variations. But what happens is the justices start looking at things that don't make much sense. So in the case dealing with the SEC, it turns out that the accounting board is a subdivision of the General Commission. And Chief Justice Roberts, and now followed by Judge Kagan, were of the view that if you have two boards, neither of which can be removed except for cause, there's too much insulation of the administrative state from the power of the president. And so what happens is they say, we're really worried about the fact that both boards were insulated, and so therefore it's a violation of separation of power. But you think about it for a second. You say, look, suppose what you did is you made all of the appointments to the accounting board removable at the will and the whim of the president. He's not going to remove people whom he basically agrees with. And so what you're doing is you're trying to figure out how the administrative structure should be ordered when the fundamental question isn't how the government is organized. It's the way the unified government brings its weight against the other parties. And so they just got the wrong emphasis. And due process applies no matter what the procedural defect that you have. So long as there's bias, you need independence, and you're not getting it. So then it turns out Justice Gorsuch comes along. And he has another nice argument. He said, look, generally, you have general federal jurisdiction over all cases. And the issue is whether or not that has been removed by the two statutes governing the SEC and the FTC. And he says no. Well, it turns out that's not a very strong argument. Congress passed these grotesque statutes to begin with. They're very much in the thrall of the administrative state. So now they pass another statute. And what that statute says quite simply is you have to do jurisdiction section. Everything has to come first inside the agency. Well, now you're right back in the same soup again. And the due process argument is constitutional, so you can't win it. Justice Thomas comes along. He's a due process fan, all to the good. And he says, in these cases, you should do it. But he doesn't do it to all cases. There's another one of these administrative law cases that he wrote, which I've always regarded as indefensible, a case called Oil States, in which he said it was perfectly okay for the Patent and Appeal Trial Board to hear cases that it brought about its own patent and to take them out of the district court. He said, these are public rights, giving the wrong definition of the term. And so the question is, why it is if somebody wants to take your land, they have to give you a fair trial. But if they want to confiscate your patent, they don't. And so what he does, he has the right position, but he doesn't apply it to a broad enough set of cases. So what you need to do is to be aware of the fact that in any and every situation in which you have an administrative agency hearing its own cases, you want to separate it out. There may be some exceptions for immigration and for Social Security where thousands of small cases came place. But even then, you'd like to get some safeguards against the guys who run the system from dictating how it ought to be.
Richard,
run.
I want to enter here and make sure I'm following.
Yep.
What the agencies do, the administrative state, is mm-hmm. that they advance a chosen administrative law judge, their mm-hmm. choice, to hear the matter first before the courts, before a district court or any court, which is suggestive of skipping due process. At the same time, if the accused is found not wanting, in other words, let off, then the case goes away. If the accused by the administrative law judge is found at issue, it goes back into the agency and takes years, and the courts never get to opine at that point. So
what happens is, technically, you always have a right to appeal. But one of the things I've learned in my late life as becoming something of a litigator is the power that the trier of fact has over the way in which the evidence is presented and the way in which they describe is absolutely enormous. And so if you give yourself a judge who's already basically tied in with the agency that's suing the case, in some cases they use the same guy 100 times and they win 100 cases or 99 cases. Now that's what you have to stop. And what the Supreme Court has not been prepared to do is to say, even if we must have an administrative state and we must for large numbers of cases, we do not forget the principles of separation of power and the principles associated with due process. But what separation of power said is you never let adjudication be tied in with enforcement and legislation and rulemaking. And what due process says You have to have a neutral arbiter using known laws in an unbiased and impartial basis. Those are the fundamental principles. And somehow or other, they get lost in an opinion, which is the right result, expressing the kind of uneasy dissatisfaction that all nine judges have with this. Because remember, the liberals aren't particularly happy in seeing small little people beaten to a pulp by a large administrative agency. So there's a natural left-right correspondence that can be brought to bear on this case. What they have to do is to get their intellectual act together, in my view.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, a senior fellow, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. The case is 9-0. How long until we see another uniform decision by the so-called ideological Supreme Court? We turn to a matter that is not before the Supreme Court, but might someday be. This is the, what you'd have to say right now, the metaphorical battle between California and Florida, between Walt Disney and a man named DeSantis. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.